Can I have a couple people help me with the communion? Jesus told us to take this as often as you will. You can literally take it, you can take it monthly, you can take it weekly, you can take it daily, you can take it three times a day if you want. You know, a lot of people will go to the doctor and the doctor will say, you take this medicine at exactly 6 o'clock, noon and 6 o'clock, and you eat it with 2 bananas and 3 beans. They'll go home and they'll take that at 6 o'clock and noon and 6 o'clock with 3 bananas and 2 beans. But this is God's medicine. And this is so much better than any medicine man has ever made. Because we're partaking of the body of Christ. And Paul told us to discern the body of Christ. And he told us how to discern the body of Christ. When we look at this bread, God wants us to look at that sacrifice. Actually, see Jesus on his cross. We look at this bread and we notice that it's been beaten and pounded flat. And Jesus' body was certainly beaten and bruised for us. Also, in this bread, there's stripes in this bread. And it's by his stripes that we were healed. And this bread has been pierced. And everywhere Jesus' body was pierced, he shed blood. And wherever he shed blood, we get redemption in some area for our bodies. Also, this bread has been slightly burned. And that means the full wrath of God's fiery judgment, the judgment that was meant for us, was laid on Jesus when he was on that cross. The precise time of that was when God turned his face from Jesus when he was on that cross, and Jesus said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because Jesus was forsaken, we're accepted. Thank God for that. And also, that was the only time Jesus ever addressed him as God. He's always addressed him as Father. And now, because we've been adopted into the family, we can address him as Father and not God. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name. The blood of Jesus was shed on purpose. It was not spilled. It was shed. And it was a messy sacrifice. And it was for us. That blood of Jesus not only washed away our sins, but it's because of the blood of Jesus that we're justified. It's because of the blood of Jesus that we've been made holy. It's because of the blood of Jesus that we're sanctified. And it's because of the blood of Jesus that we've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The blood of Jesus has done something so special for us. It's because of that blood that we can go into the presence of God as if nothing ever happened. Because nothing did. Because it's been washed away. We thank you for this. Are we having children's church today? All right, you better boogie or you'll be stuck in here with me. You're not boogieing. I guess you want to stay here with me, huh? Don't eat all the good snacks. All right, open up to Matthew chapter 24 and I want to talk to you about some things, and You know, in case you haven't noticed, our world is changing daily. It's changing right before our eyes. And now the evil people are making it more and more apparent every day who they are. You know, there's a couple I kind of wonder about. But eventually they're going to be forced into showing their hand one way or the other. But every day we start seeing more and more stuff. And I told you last week that there is a food shortage coming up. The farmers haven't been able to make the crops that they was wanting to. They couldn't get the fertilizer. And now, just to kind of put their crowning touch, California is talking about shutting off water to the farmers so they can't irrigate their crops. You realize that California is kind of a breadbasket to the United States. There's a lot of food comes out of California. I don't say this to scare you. I say this to let you know that it's going to happen, that things are happening, and that you should stock up a little bit. Amen? Well, there's a reason for all of this mess, and it's coming to a head, and it's going to be taken care of, but I want you to know that God wins. You're going to be okay. Trust in God. Amen? But Matthew chapter 24, verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you." So stop right there. It said, "Take heed that no man deceive you." So Jesus said to pay attention, to make sure nobody deceives you, then it must be possible that somebody could deceive you. Amen? So we're going to have to pay attention. He said, "For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ." Now, when I look at that word Christ, I understand that that's the anointing. You can run into a lot of people that say they're anointed. You can run into a lot of people who say, "There's an anointed one over here." I can't express to you how important it is to follow the Word. Matter of fact, if that preacher isn't spending more time reading to you out of the Bible than what he is, something that he heard or something that he experienced or something that somebody else said or some doctrine of a man, avoid that. They should be sometimes line upon line, precept upon precept, following the Bible, the Word of God. It said, "Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars." Have you heard of any wars lately? And rumors of wars? The evil people want a war really, really bad right now. They really want to have a war, but they're not getting one. But we're hearing rumors of wars. I don't know. I make it a point, we shut off our TV so we don't ever have to hear nothing from Fox or CBS or CNN or none of them creeps. But every once in a while they'll have a flash on my phone, I'll see some highlight. And I don't know how many times I've heard them creeps talk about nuclear war. It's like, geez. You know, the devil operates on fear. He wants people to get afraid. He wants people to be in fear. so that he could be their answer. And he'll step in and say, I can fix this, and here's your answer. That was their whole deal from the beginning. They're not getting it. See that you be not troubled. So he said, even though you hear of wars and rumors of wars, see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. So now, we know there's famines going on. There's great famines going on in Africa. Even these locusts, great swarms of locusts have, gosh, unbelievable swarms of locusts are happening in some of these places in Egypt and different places. I've never seen anything like that. Just these videos of these locusts is eerie. And earthquakes, the amount of earthquakes that we've been having, it's a biblical amount of earthquakes going on. Our world is changing right now as we speak. Day by day, it's changing. I know some people just want to not think about it, and some people don't want to acknowledge it, and they think this is just a bump. Maybe next election we'll get a new president and everything is going to go back to normal. No. Forget that. It's not going to be the way it was. I don't care who gets elected. It's not going to be the way it was. I don't care if Trump gets elected. It's not going to be the way it was. We're not returning to the way it was. We're going to a whole new thing. Amen? And it's a good thing. You're being released from the devil's shackles. You should celebrate this. Amen? But all these things are the beginning of sorrows. He says that they shall deliver you to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall arise, and shall deceive many. I want you to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. It says, let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things. And now you know what beholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time, the mystery of iniquity does already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. It's very important to understand that you cannot follow signs and wonders. Verse 9 says, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in him that perisheth. There are already lying signs and wonders in this world. I've seen these signs and wonders in different places. There's different people. You got to understand that Satan has people out there working too. The thing about people that are not born again is they don't have the ability really to be led by the Spirit. They're led by their five natural senses. And they're looking for something. They want to see something. They want to feel something. They want to hear something, taste something. They want to see something happening. And they have a craving for the supernatural inside of them, because every single person on this earth is a spirit. And that spirit inside of them was in contact with God himself. You know, they didn't just happen. Their little spirits were in contact with God, the creative working God, the miracle working God. So they have a craving for the supernatural. Now, until they get born again, they're looking for something. They want to see something. Well, the devil will show them something. The devil will give them something. I wondered, you know, I've wondered about the pull of these evil people, how they get people to just come into their system, hook, line, and sinker. And I studied quite a bit of this, what the attraction was, and read testimony of people that were either thrown in jail or they got delivered from that and they got set free. One guy said, you know, he was in jail. And he said, but when he was out, he made a deal with the devil. And this lady asked him, said, why did you do that? And he said, you know something? The women was incredible. He said, there was just women all over for me. And the money was amazing. He said, I just did whatever I wanted to do. Until he went to jail. I wondered, the money thing, I thought, how much money could he possibly give? So I was done some research and I studied, and some of these people would sign on with the devil, they'd immediately get like $30-40 million. That's a pretty big pull. But is it worth your soul? See, there is some people we used to joke about it, said there's some people that would sell their soul for 40 acres. There's some people that would sell their soul to win a horse race. I didn't really understand just how true that was. There are some people that will sell their soul for anything. And it's not necessary when God has already freely given you all things with Christ Jesus. You know, there's Christians. There's Christians that are in that boat too. He said to watch out. The love of money is the root of all evil. Money is not evil, it's the love of money. The love of money, it pierces a man's soul. But here's the thing I've watched a lot of people do. I've watched a lot of church hoppers. You know, when I was in Bible school, that was one of our deals, is we had to go to different churches and just sit there and watch how they do things. So we'd just go there and just watch. Not say anything, not do anything, but just kind of travel around and see different things. And I got to noticing that there was massive amounts of people that would hop from church to church. And all of a sudden there would be some new church show up over here, and the praise and worship team would just be awesome. And so then they're I'm talking sometimes a couple thousand people at a time would show up at this church. And it'd be the same preaching that they had at the old church. They just got a different praise and worship team. And then all of a sudden the prophet showed up. And everybody was all tore up about this prophet. And so I thought, well, I'm going to go see what this guy's about. Well, he was a long ways away. So everybody was going to go out there and go hear this prophet. And so I went all the way up there with these guys, and I was standing there, and people rolling around on the floor and shouting hallelujah and going crazy and wiggling around. And I was paying attention to what this guy said. And he spent 30 minutes talking about his website and how much money he needed for his website. And everybody's shouting hallelujah. And I mean, he's tipping people over. People are falling over. And he's talking about his website. And he said, anybody want to get born again, come on down here. And he went out the back door. And the local pastor had to go down there and get people born again. And I sat there and I thought, he didn't preach one word of the gospel. But people were shouting hallelujah and running to him. They were following signs and wonders. They weren't following the word. Signs and wonders will follow the word. I seen another man, a very notable preacher. He started preaching, and they did their praise and worship, and people were coming up and getting healed. And he made it a very plain. He told the people, said, I'm not here to tell you about healing. I'm here to tell you about Jesus. And he told them about Jesus, and miracles just went crazy. And he told them about Jesus Christ and him crucified. If whatever you're hearing is not about Jesus Christ and him crucified, stop. Just stop. That's the gospel. There's nothing else that's the gospel. If it's not Jesus Christ and him crucified, it's not the gospel. The one thing that you need to know is that Jesus will never leave you nor forsake you. Verse 11 says, many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. You know, I've seen that. I've seen people that have been in church, as Christians, that said, well, they'd been in church a lot. And they'd say, well, if God is so good, why does all this bad stuff keep happening? Why does he let all these people get killed? Why does he let these people get killed in these hurricanes? Why does he let these people get killed in tornadoes? A lot of times they lost somebody. Why does he let people get whatever happened to them happen to them? God's not letting it happen. You know, people have a really good habit of jumping up in the air and grabbing the curse and pulling it down around their ears. They tear down their hedge of protection. God placed it in front of us. He said, the words of your mouth is what's going to satisfy your belly. In verse 13, in the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. You know, that word saved, you're born again. You're not enduring to the end to get to heaven. You're enduring to the end for your salvation. You know, salvation is here on earth too, not just getting to heaven. But don't give up. There will be a lot of pressure on Christians to give up. There's a lot of pressure on Christians to just back down from the gospel, but don't. Don't. You need to be like a pit bull with blinders, with blinkers on. You're going straight forward. You're not going to give up. You're not going to back down. This is your time to be noisy. This is your time to stand up and say something. This is your time to shine. Let the glory of God shine on you so that the people that aren't born again can see you doing something. You know why? You know why the mystical arts, you know, like the Satanism and all this witchcraft and all this stuff seems to be growing the way it is? Because they show people something. They show people some kind of signs and wonders. And they see this and they say, well, this must be the answer right here. And they go to it. But God intended for you to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to get endued with power, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, speak in other tongues. He said, to lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. He tooled you up to go out there and do something. That's our job. To be out there doing something, wreaking havoc in the kingdom of darkness, literally plundering hell to populate heaven. It's not a time to be an undercover Christian. It's a time to be lit up with the glory of God and going out there and reaching somebody that needs help. And well, you know, that lady don't go to church here. Why would I help her? Because you can and you should. Amen. I believe in promoting the kingdom of God, not our own personal church. When I was in Midland, I'd go around and I'd do a lot of outreach, a lot of street ministry, and do a lot of stuff. And this one guy at this church kept telling me, he said, anytime you need anything, just holler. Just tell me what you need. Anytime you need anything, just let me know. So one day, me and another guy, we were getting ready to do an outreach, a mission over in Odessa in a park. And we already had the game plan. We were going to go to the park. We were going to do this hot dogs and pops and chips and stuff and get kids playing and get the neighborhood together and minister to them. And there was a church right there. And we were going to take them over there to that pastor and say, here, you feed them. They're in your neighborhood, you feed them. So, this guy, I was driving down the road and this guy called me and he said, you need anything? I said, yeah, I do. I'll tell you what I need. I need a bunch of hot dogs, pops, chips, frisbees. And he said, what are you going to do with that? I said, we're going to go over to Odessa and we're going to do a ministry outreach. And he said, well, let me talk to somebody. I said, okay. So he talked to his head pastor and called me back and said, well, this isn't going to benefit our church, is it? I said, no. It doesn't have anything to do with your church. Other than you're going to fund it if you really got the backbone to do what you said you was going to do. He said, well, we don't believe in doing anything that doesn't benefit our body. And I said, well, we don't have anything to talk about now, do we? And he said, what do you mean? I said, if you're not about the kingdom of God, and reaching out to the lost and getting them born again, wherever they may land in church, and we don't have much to talk about. And that church kind of fizzled out. They just didn't seem to have kingdom mentality. They had church mentality, not kingdom mentality. Well, we need to be reaching out wherever possible. That's our job, to preach the gospel to all the creatures, lay hands on the sick, cast out devils. See, you've been given this ministry, and you've been given the ability, you've been given the authority, and you've been given the power to do these things. Now you just got to jump out of the boat. It's an exhilarating journey once you get out there and start doing some of this stuff. But then you'll realize just how much you have to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit, on Jesus to do these things. Amen? But we're coming into that time where the world is being shaken and people are going to be looking for answers. They're going to need answers. They're going to be asking, why is this happening? What are we going to do about this? How can we get through this? And they're going to need somebody with answers. It needs to be the church need to be saying, here's the answer. You know, the devil will have an answer for them too. We need to make sure that we get in between the devil and the people. Amen? We're in a special time. We need to embrace it. We need to enjoy it. I know there's going to be some turbulence, but it's an exciting time. It's a really exciting time to get to see God do amazing things in your life. Watch Him provide for you. Watch Him stand up for you. Watch Him defend you. Amen? Thank you, Father, for your word. We praise you in the name of Jesus for everything that you do for us every day as our high priest, making intercession for us, our Lord Jesus, making intercession for us, causing his prayers to land on us so that we can be in the right place at the right time, so that we can have right happenings happen to us every day. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we have homemade blueberry muffins back here. Come on back and have some.